quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heal us the danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercy of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not the mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, your heart will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that the kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now drop. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that this kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. We have to keep reminding ourselves, otherwise we'll be sucked right in there with everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. Men are so busy with worldly achievements.
The mercies of Jesus they daily down trod.
That wouldn't be a very popular message over there at that Summerfield colony, you know. No. They're so materialistic. Man, you couldn't get inside with that kind of a message in the day and hour we're living in. No. Their effort and their work, everything is so futile, like it says here. It's actually expensive, the whole thing.
The whole scenario.
So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. You don't even have to wait until judgment day. When you get up in age and you get old and you haven't done nothing for Jesus, you know, you just for material things. That's why we keep singing these songs. That's why we keep doing what we're doing. To remind us, to yank us into reality. Mm-hmm. That's not the real. That's not reality what you see out there. Mm-hmm. That's a phony, materialistic lifestyle that doesn't have no promise, you know. Materialism is just, you just need enough to get by, you know.
It's really Vanity City when you read a book, Pilgrim Progress. He goes through the city, Vanity City. It's all vain and a distraction, and in the end, it leads down to destruction.
Well, we got the real thing. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our souls, diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend that's so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark that his love cannot cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever a saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Or ever find that he would not take him? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was ever a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us the gift of heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever a saint find his friend forsaken? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for the Lord to meet. Few things are ready now to come by my ear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now to come by my ear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now to come by night here. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed his heart of mine. Trials face on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep this thought in mind. By the word, it's almost time. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed his heart of mine. Trials face on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep his thought in mind. By the word, it's almost time. It's almost time to say goodbye to a world that's vexed his heart of mine. Trials face on every hand, brought on by the curse of sin. I feel it won't be very long till Jesus comes to claim his own. We must keep this thought in mind. By the word, it's almost time. Yeah, we got to do what we're going to do. I mean, if we didn't do what we did, it wouldn't get done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought of that? There's a lot of information that wouldn't be out there if you wouldn't be doing what we do. And sometimes you just got to step up to the plate, you know. Sometimes the Lord calls you to step up to the plate no matter what. And that's what He called us to do, step up to the plate. And I know He calls a lot of people to step up to the plate. But the materialism they sold their soul to materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Wenn sie meinen, sie leben als Beste, so müssen sie auch mit davon. These songs are real to us.
Mm-hmm.
Wir sind gehen in die blutige Bahn. Die Christus, der Herr, ist gegangen. So müssen sie auch noch gehen. Like I see. Sometimes you just got to step up to the plate and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you out of this materialistic world that we're living in. Especially for Hutterites, you know. Like for me, I had it made back there. But one day the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, okay, we got some work to do. Let's go do it. And I realized he prepared me all my life for that journey that he put me on. And I know he deals with a lot of people that they should step up to the plate and do this, and just get with the God's program. Never mind your materialistic program. As the scripture back when Peter and Paul were locked up in prison, or whoever it was, and the chains fell off, and that jailer, he was going to commit suicide, and Peter,
Paul and Silas.
Paul and Silas, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they told that jailer, if you will believe,
mm-hmm.
you and your whole household will be saved. That he probably had a lot of children and a lot of grandchildren, and his whole household was involved.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get himself to believe what these two people are trying to tell him, and he did step up to the plate. And then his whole household was saved somehow or other. And God has somebody in every family structure that he'll try to get him to step up to the plate, and he just won't do it. But that's what I was thinking this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that God calls to step up to the plate, but they just won't do it because they got it made. They're not willing to get into that life of persecution and things like we've had to go through the last
mm-hmm.
30, 40 years, and simply because we stood up to the plate. We didn't count our life. We were willing to lose our life for the sake of the gospel. And eventually, God is faithful. Eventually, there'll be a great gathering. Eventually, mm-hmm. it'll pay off because we didn't choose this life. We didn't choose that. We were called of God to step up to the plate. That's what we did against all odds. And like I say, I know a lot of people that refuse to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll pay off in the end.
That's right. Because it says in that song, "Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling? Come follow me."
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We forsook it all to follow him. And right. In the end, there's going to be a great jubilee because you've done your part.
Yeah. Amen to that. Heavenly Father, we will give you thanks for this another day of life, for another day of protection, Lord. We just pray we'll never take things for granted. We'll never take life for granted, but we'll always be grateful and mindful of your care and keeping, Lord. We just pray you'll allow us to say the things you put on our hearts, and we just pray you'll give us the freedom and the liberty to say it in such a way that it'll resonate within the hearts of the people, Lord, that someday may want to listen and hear what we have to say, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking about those Sommerfeld people over here. Like this song we're singing here, that won't fit into their system, into their would to God it would.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so materialistic minded that they have somehow found a form that in this materialistic world that they're living in, this commune that they're living in, that somehow they made an excuse that that's the way to have it. But it's nothing but first-class deception. They're being deceived, and they don't even know it. They've sold mm-hmm. out to materialism. And they sold their soul to materialism.
That's right. And now nobody's knocking, making a living, and having to do with you have to make a living in order to put bread and food on your table. But it's the priorities of things that people have wrong. Their whole priority, their whole concept, their whole mindset is geared towards making money. And the things of God, the spirituality, they're religious. but there's nothing there that would touch the heart of God. That's what we're talking about.
God's okay with that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he'll step somebody on the shoulder, okay, you guys can all stay here. But I know for a fact that he had his eyes set on that boss, on that John over there in Summerfeld. I know because time and time and time again, I would run into him. And he was very disturbed in his spirit what he should do. And I knew God was calling him out from that, out of Sodom, really, and step up to the plate and come and stand with Christians. That's all he was asking from that guy. See, like I said, if you and your whole household will believe, God will do something for the rest of them. And then exactly what I say, he had him on his side, and all he asked for him, saying, John, let's go. We got some work for you to do. Just drop everything. Drop your job, but drop everything, because all it is a materialistic system, and I got something better for you. That's exactly what he was doing, because I know from time to time, over and over again, I'd run into him, and I would tell him about these things. And it came to a point where he actually avoided me. I seen him at the bank, and he tried to weasel away from it because he knew that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to try to convince him to step up to the plate and be counted and stand with the Christians. But see, he come to the point in his life where he has completely rejected the Lord. He didn't want to have nothing to do with that movement that was kind of calling people out when that Stoltz was, and they had that tent meeting over at Oak. Well, he knew all about it, and he was invited to go there. But see, if he would have gone there, he would have lost his position. He would have lost his job. But God had him honed out for the rest of his family. If you, John, can get yourself out of this materialistic thing, he had the job of being boss, you know. But God knew for a fact that God wanted him to step up to the plate, just like he called you and I to step up to the plate. There came a day when we had to step up to the plate, and we had to do exactly what that song said. Wenn sie weinen, sie leben aus Beste, so müssen sie ab, wir sind gehen in die Blüte gebaren. Die Christus der ist gegangen, so müssen wir auch noch gehen. That's what we did, and that's what we... When the Lord called on us, that's what we did. And he wanted that man, that John from Summerfield, to step up to the plate and take a stand so that his whole household can be saved. Not only him, his siblings and his whole household. When God says his whole household, he means everybody. And here he refused to step up to the plate, and then he had a stroke and died. And now we can't even go near that place without being persecuted, and most of his boys left, and we were driving by down there where they have a business down there, and the Lord was so ticked off over that John that he wouldn't even let us go visit his children down there where they work, and we wanted to stop there. He wouldn't let us do it. And then we had a car here for sale, and his boy wanted to buy the car, and the Lord wouldn't even let us sell him that car. And see, that's how ticked off God was, because there was so much hanging on that man for him to step up to the plate. Now, because he refused to step up to the plate, that whole household is completely in disarray. Mm-hmm. And there's no hope for him. And now these, they live over there with these, what's the worst of it, with these grosses, you know? And they always look down on these grosses. Now these grosses, they have the whole place under their domain, so to speak. There's that young preacher, he's a groze, and he only got two preachers, and both of them are grozes. And what the Lord did, he just went under there and took the rug out from under it, and now he's giving that whole place to the grozes. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when he didn't step up to the plate. God is very, very ticked off about that guy because he refused to step up to the plate. And Like I say, I talked with time and time again. I know that God had him on his radar. God had him on his target, but he refused to step up to the plate, and he refused to do anything about it. And now,
people,
it's over.
Uh-huh. Some people spend most of their life fighting God.
Yeah.
And in the end, they have nothing, and they have nothing for their children and their children, and their whole line goes
down to hell and death. It's just that simple. Like that this brother, that Mike, that preacher, Mike, he's so low down, that man. When I was terminated from the colony, he went and told everybody, oh, he didn't want his family anymore. And so he set it up so we would terminate. Mm-hmm. That's how low down a person can become when you're not walking with the Lord. And then my children, they believe that junk. And to this day, they believe it, that I didn't care about them. Not enough to say about that guy.
You can't really, there's no words to express people like that, because God wants something so much better. Like the song says, I have selige Stunden oft bei dir, oh Gott, aus dir Kraft gefunden, wenn mein Herz war schwer. But God has blessed, such a blessing for people when they just yield to His ways. Yeah. All He would have had to do was yield, and then God could have showered Him with blessed hours with Him, and not this materialism, but something so much better than what materialism has to offer. Because even though initially, when you make this that decision, it looks like the whole world is against you. Mm-hmm. And really it is, because the devil will throw everything at you. But in it, God will protect you. Like I was thinking yesterday, how sheltered we are. And the reason why we're so sheltered, when you go into turbulent waters, when you allow your life to be in a life of disobedience to God and not follow His leadership, then you're going to have a lot of turbulence. But because we've been obedient to God and to what He requires of us, and we separated ourselves from all this wrong out there, these
religious systems,
from materialism, from wrong teaching, that God has put us into a sheltered place. And there is a place in life where you can find it if you can only follow the footsteps of Jesus. But a lot of people, they just cannot seem to bring themselves to yield and follow the footsteps of Jesus.
Amen to that. And like I say, like if you take the contrast, when Silas told that man, if you and your household, if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. And now you take the flip side. Mm-hmm. I like to take the flip side, because, in other words, he said, if you don't believe, you and your whole household will be damned. It's just that simple. Because there are certain people and a family structure. I've seen it time and time again. If I can get that man to believe, God will set it up that his whole house will somehow be saved. And if that certain individual refuses to yield to the Spirit of the living God, that whole household will be dead. And you can walk and you can talk till you're blue in the face. It will not matter. You can go and try to witness to them. It will not do nothing, because God has hung out that certain individual and that family structure that he should step up to the plate. That's why I say, sometimes you just got to step up to the plate. And the Lord has called me to step up to the plate for our family, for that over family structure. And somehow they'll make it. Although, even though they hate me with a passion, my brother, he's telling your dad, oh, that guy's a disgrace to the family. You know, of course you'll be a disgrace. You'll be looked down on and you'll be slandered and everything under the sun. But that's just part of the program. You just move on with the Lord. Jesus himself was ousted from his family because they came looking for him, taking one of them, taken to the mental institute, really, because they came and looking for him. And he said, who is my brother, who is my sister? Because he was told, your mother and your brothers and your sister is out there, they're looking for you. They would want to ran them in. And he said, who is my brother, who is my sister? These out here that that are about the Lord's business. Mm-hmm. These are my family, and they had to go back. But later on in life, they kind of came around, and like Jan, that was the so-called brother of Jesus, and eventually they came around. But in the meantime, Jesus had to be about the Father's business. That's what you and I, we have to be about the Father's business. It doesn't really matter what your children or your grandchildren or your siblings say or do. We just be about the Father's business. And if you and I want to do something for them, all we can do is continue on this program that God has for us. Just do what we're doing here on a daily basis. And that's the only way that you can actually care for your children. Because I found out how little control you have over your children. Back in the day when the Lord was moving on me to step up to the plate, I didn't just do what it sounds like, Sam, let's go, it's time to step up to the plate. It didn't come overnight. The Lord dealt with me for years to go up and expose that Hutterite system, expose the spirit that's driving that Hutterite religious system. And it took him 2 years to try to prepare me. And then he let me know how little control I have over my children. All of a sudden, my whole world kept caving in. Like I told you before, my son got his fingers cut in the swing, and he got his fingers chopped off. Mm-hmm. And my other son got lost in the forest. And all of a sudden, I realized my world is caving in, and there is nothing that you can do to protect it, to hold it back, because the Lord has started to pull the plug on me because I refuse to be obedient. I refuse to yield, and then what happened? He chopped my finger off, and then that didn't work, so he chopped my foot off, and then that gave me 2 years' time to sit back and to evaluate things. We didn't just pop up and do what we're doing here just overnight. It was the Lord was working, and I could no longer refuse the Lord. I had to yield. I had to step up to the plate and do what that John from Summer fell over there refused to do. You believe, and your whole household will be saved. And now you have to take the flip side. If you don't believe, your whole household will be damned. And there's nothing that anybody can do about that. Because it's just the structure, it's just the principle of God. That's how he worked. And he got my attention. Eventually I yielded to him. And eventually I did step up to the plate. And eventually I told these preachers how corrupt they are. And eventually I was terminated. Mm-hmm. And eventually I was excommunicated. And that's okay. That's all part of the plan of God. And we're about the Lord's business. Mm-hmm. Because, like I say, there's nothing, you have no control over your children if you're rebelling against God. Because God is the only one that can look after them, that can make them come to that blessed end. Because, like I keep saying over and over in Hosea, it says, if you will reject me, I will reject you, and that you will be no more priest before me, and I will forget your children. Mm-hmm. If you keep rejecting me, and I seen all these scriptures, and finally the day came, and I said, okay, Lord, I yielded, and I was willing to lose my life for his sake and the gospel, and that's why we're here today. We're still at it, you know. That's we're still going on with the Lord, because he's on us out, he has called us to do this job, and we do it gladly. And after a while, it gets better and better. It wasn't like that at the beginning.
That's right. And you can see it in the Bible, in the life of David, all the trouble, the trials he had to go through to become king. And then he even established his kingdom from generation down. It's because whenever there was a king that was not walking in a proper manner, God still had to look at it according to his servant David, because of his servant David. And that's what when somebody follows God, then God overlooks a lot of things because of this one person that was willing to step in the gap and put his life on the line, and therefore the rest he can kind of look on in grace because of what this individual has done. And it's a principle of God. That's why you and your whole household will be saved, is because if this one person can step up in the gap and be that kind of that kingsman redeemer that the Bible speaks of. He was willing to do it for his family and for his family structure and his downline to to forsake it all for Jesus and walk that walk, that journey that God has required of him, mm-hmm. and then the whole household will be saved. It's just a principle of God. You can see it in the Bible time and time again, how God looks at things.
I remember back in the day, like I said, there was this this couple that accused me of, I hate to talk about this thing, but you got to see the wrath of God and the fury of God, and you can see how God keeps things in remembrance.
He
you
does.
Know, back in the day, anyway, I got it in a book. But anyway, these people, this couple accused me of attempting to rape that girl. And they flat out lied out about it. And they accused me of attempting rape. And because I had, the Lord gave me a vision. I saw them commit adultery. And I went and told them about it. And it's all, nobody had to know. I just simply told them that. That's what the Lord showed me. And now he's going to have to clean it up somehow. And what did they do? They went and they just accused me of attempting to rape her simply because I told him I saw you commit adultery, because the Lord had given me a vision. I seen it just in like it was broad daylight. And then it was just a little way back, that was way back in the early 70s. And then she lied out about it, and they told everybody that I was attempting to rape her. And then, well, I wasn't going to go up and fight them. I wasn't going to take them to court and all that stuff. I just said, Lord, vengeance is mine. You said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I just left it with the Lord. And here, lo and behold, for 45 years, she lived with that guilt, because she knew that it was a lie, and I knew that it was a lie, but the people around her, they believe her, and they, to this day, they got me branded as that's that guy that tried to rape that girl, you know, and I was completely innocent of it, and now the proof is in the pudding. Now they had, eventually they had two boys, and you could look it up on that Hunter right app. Their boys don't have any children. It's just the way God deals with it. Had they stepped up to the plate and not falsely accused me, their children would be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But see, because they didn't, they falsely accused me, God says, I will take vengeance on the children 3 to 4 generations down the road. And now they're married, and now their children don't have any, they don't have any offspring, you know what I'm saying? And that's just right before your very eyes. If somebody just wants to step back and look at how God deals with people,
mm-hmm.
because they reject it, because they flat out lied about it. Like, I don't like to talk about that, because to me, I just give it to the Lord. Lord, you deal with it the way you want to deal with it. It's out of my hands. I know you told me, you showed it to me, and you moved on me to do this very thing, and that's what I did, and now God's going to look after it somehow. In the eyes of God, I'm innocent, but in the eyes of people, I'm still guilty to this day. To this day, they got me ranting about this guy that tried to rape this girl. When it was, I wouldn't even touch her with a 10-foot pole, let alone touch her.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to say, God's vengeance, and God remembers these things, just like he remembered when he was trying to deal with that John here from Summerfield. Now that whole family, you don't know what's going on in Mississippi. Now they got these roses running both colonies, running that new place and running that old place over here. The preacher's there. They're in charge of it, you know. They call the shots now, and they're just having to play second fiddle to everything, simply because that man did not step up to the plate. See, I don't care if people go and do the material things.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to keep all these people alive up there, to keep them fed and watered. But sometimes you'll tap somebody on the shoulder, and that somebody has to move, because a whole environment depends on what he's going, if he's going to yield to the Lord or he's going to rebel against him. And that John over there, he decided he is not going to yield to the Lord. And now, like I say, it's so bad that we couldn't even visit his sons.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can take it to the Bible, when everything has a meaning. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, that it's still relevant today. Like when God went over the blessings and the cursings of what the children of Israel will face when they walk away from his ways and not be obedient to him, there's going to be cursing. But if they follow his ways and be mindful of what God requires of them, then they're going to be faced with blessings and their whole household will be blessed. So you can take these things, even though if it is talking about the nation of Israel, it's still relevant for our walk and our everyday life. Because the Bible is the living word of God. And in it, there is these stories that happen and these things that God has placed in the Bible are still applicable to our lives. Because God is still the same today, yesterday, forever. He doesn't change. And you can take the blessings, how God can bless you and your family when you are obedient and follow his ways and his commandments, his statutes, and what he requires of you. He will bless you. But there are also the cursings if people do not do that. And that curse comes on the family structure if a person does not do that.
I can see it when we look around. We open our eyes and we look around. Some families, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You can't even get near them. And then yet there's some family, they'll believe what we're trying to say here. But the environment is so bad and the calling that they won't hear us, you know. Mm-hmm. They're sold out to materialism and business. And that's quite all right. But well, where's your priorities at,
yes,
you know?
Uh-huh.
There's coming a day when, see, our kingdom is not of this world. We don't worry about what happens down here. All we want to do, all I've ever wanted from the Lord, Lord, help me to be faithful to what you've called me to be. That's all that matters, because this life here is just temporary. It's just a few short years. And then what you're doing here, you're preparing yourself a place and that eternal abode. And then once you get into that millennium, and if you've done your part here, you have the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where you'll be ruling and reigning, and then your children, if you're faithful to the end, your children will rule and reign there with you, because it's just a principle of God. If he's, like it says, if you believe, you and your whole house will be saved. If you do what I want you to do, if you allow me to lead and guide you by my Spirit, I may see to it somehow, some way, I don't know how God does it, that somehow your whole household will be saved. It's just a principle that God has, and we don't. All we have to do is do our level best to be faithful to what God has called us to be, and the Lord will look after the other things, the necessary things. And because, like I say, we're not worried about what happens down here. We don't worry how many times my brother tells me he's a bloody disgrace to the family. Of course you'll be a disgrace. That's all part of the program. Mm-hmm. But you have to be faithful to what God has called you to do. And just like when you had to write that book about your siblings, you know, God would not let you sleep anymore. You had to get up and you had to write a book. And they were very offended what you told them in that book. But they see that's something that you had to do for their salvation, for their betterment, for their, so that they will have and expected it. Of course they didn't like it. Of course, to this day, there's still, some of them are still not too happy with the fact that you wrote a book about it. And, but see, you care about their eternal destiny. You care about where they're going to spend eternity. And because now that you did that, God's going to look after the other things, the necessary things. Just like with me, God's going to look after the children and grandchildren somehow. I don't know how he does it, and he just does it because he's faithful. You know, he's faithful to his word. Mm-hmm. He's faithful to himself. And that's all we ask from the Lord. Lord, help us to be faithful and to do what you've called us to be. And that's why we're doing what we're doing here. And if we wouldn't be doing it, it wouldn't get done. Imagine all the things that's left undone because people are stubborn. People refuse to do anything about it. Look at all the people that are going to get lost simply because that John over here didn't step up to the plate and didn't surrender to what the Lord had for him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He had something a lot better than that materialistic thing. But he called on him, he moved and he knocked on his door time and time and time again, because I know what I'm talking about, because I would run into him from time to time, mm-hmm. even down. And ever, and he come to the point where he did his level best try to avoid me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
Being religious does not attract God. And materialism, that doesn't attract God. It's when you're obedient and follow his ways, that's what attracts God. Just like David was able to talk about the tender mercies of God. Why? Because there's something in his life that he did that attracted God, and he was able to talk about his tender mercies. And these people, they can talk about the tender mercies of God and his loving kindness, because their tragedy hits
them. They're in rebellion.
Yeah, and if you're in rebellion, you cannot really identify with these tender mercies and these beautiful experiences that David was able to describe in the Psalms, what he experienced mm-hmm. knowing God, is because he had a contrite heart, he had a repentant heart, he had a heart that God would attract, and that's the whole life of David. Was it a perfect life? No. He had a lot of problems, David, but there's something about David and his ways that attracted God to him, because he had his priorities right. These people do not have their priorities right. It's materialism and religion. Religion is a substitute where people, when they don't follow the ways of God, they will always latch on to religion
yeah.
as a cloak to hide behind.
Really, it boils down to rebellion. But they're doing the rebellion against God. Mm-hmm. And then they use that substitute. They become religious and all that stuff. And we've seen it over and over again, because we know exactly how the human race works. Because back, if you take the contrast between Saul and David. David, when he was confronted with his issues, and we all have issues, but when David was confronted with his issues, and the prophet came to him and he told him what he did wrong, and he just came up, right up, mm-hmm. and he just acknowledged it. Not mm-hmm. like that couple that they accused me of attempting to rape. They tried to hide the wrong thing, and didn't want to come out in the open with it. Mm-hmm. And here's David. He owned up to his stuff, and then God blessed him, and he blessed his, he said, we have a kingdom forever. He'll have a kingdom over in the millennium. And then now here is Saul. He refused to own up to anything. And then he said, come and honor me in front of the elders of Israel. And see the contrast between these two. And it says, when Saul was small in his own eyes, mm-hmm. God had favor with him. Mm-hmm. God just loved that guy because he was small in his own eyes. But then when he got proud and he got blown up, then God could no longer deal with him. It's all about humility and pride, like we were talking the other day. Pride will just push God away. You get that the head is these two magnets, and if you put them together in one way, the two magnets, they'll draw one another that you can hardly separate them. Mm-hmm. And then when you turn them around, the magnets, they will push one another away. And that's exactly what pride does and humility does with the Lord. Pride will push God away, the Spirit of the Living God away, and humility will just be like that magnet. When you turn it around, it'll bring that other magnet to it. Mm-hmm. There's so many things in nature that we can learn. If we're only willing to learn, and we're only willing to use the Bible as an example, there's so many things in the Bible mm-hmm. that teaches us, you know, how to walk before the Lord.
Right.
And that's what you and I are trying to. We're trying to do our level best to be faithful to what God has called us to do. And if we wouldn't be doing these things here, it wouldn't get done. Imagine all the people that would get lost simply because we're not doing our part. Imagine having to live in a world and an environment if Brother Jackson would have not done what he did. And imagine living in a world without Brother Branham, without the ministry of Brother Branham. I mean, what's the point of living? And that's the way it is with you and I. We have to do what we're doing because the Lord has honed us out to do this very thing, to get up at 5:30 every morning and get start the day with prayer, mm-hmm. and then sing some songs, and then have a conversation and put it out on the internet, put it out so the whole world can see it. I don't know how God's going to do it, but that's what he told us to do, and we just leave the results with him, and we don't know how many people are tapping in because the Lord told us he's going to wish there's a people out there with a hunger and a thirst for the truth. He will bring them to this. And he said, in the end of the day, in the end, he's going to send a hunger and a thirst for the word of the Lord. Not for natural bread and water, but for the word of the Lord, for the word of truth. And this is the only thing that's left for truth and the hour and time we're now living in. That thing out there they call church, that thing out there they call themselves evangelists, they're nothing but tables of vomit. Believe you me, I know what we're talking about here. They're just a waste of time. And if you're not interconnected to that vine, you got to be interconnected to that vine, and that vine is the seven star that Jesus held in his right hand. I'm going to operate throughout the great, through these seven stars, through these angels, and we're in the last one, and we're connected. We're holding on to the things that we were taught from Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, because they're just the voice, the vocal cords of that seven star. And that's all we're doing. That's the only thing we're really interested in doing. That's our job, and anything outside of that channel is not, it's going to take you out to hell and that. It's just that simple. We didn't write the Bible. We didn't put this on our, this is the Lord's program. We're just trying our level best to be faithful to what God has called us to be and do. Mm-hmm. I pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, give you thanks for what you've done in our lives, Lord, for where you brought us from and what you brought us to, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that people will realize, you know, you have requirements and you require obedience and people to walk humbly before you, that and people can either bring blessings or cursings on their family, Lord, by the things that they do. And we know that freedom is just one generation away. That's why people need to teach their children to your ways and to walk before you. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help people understand that and that there you have requirements. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.